I want to take time tonight on purpose and read this account that we're going to be dealing with, the life of Hannah, the prayer of Hannah. So turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. That's said a lot, but it shouldn't get old because it's so true. But there is no replacement for God's Word. Nothing I can say, expound, add to. The reading of God's Word should be a daily part of your life. You want to you want to get power in your life? Read the Word of God. Power against the devil, power against sin, power against self, the flesh. Hide the Word of God in your heart. You want to increase your faith? Read the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to preaching. So let's look at it. And I am going to skip a couple of verses at the very beginning. We're going to jump down into verse number 5 because there's some names in there that I probably would just butcher. And we want to get right down to it. You know the story. Verse 5, let's read together. And you do understand Elkanah is the husband. Eli is the man of God. And Samuel is yet to arrive. Samuel's that prayed for a child. And Elkanah has two wives. Hannah, who he loves. That's what the Bible says. He loved her. And Peninnah. And so we're going to pick up right here. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Let me stop reading just a moment and say a quick word right here. You can be sure you're going to have adversaries. When you have a weakness, it is a known fact. Somebody's going to point that out. Somebody's going to take advantage of that weakness. Somebody's going to exploit your hurt. And God don't waste words. God knew she was hurting. And God put it right here for us to learn from and to get help from. Because hallelujah, her adversary didn't define her future. Didn't define her fate. The naysayers didn't have the last say. God was going to bless and touch this woman. But her adversary, listen to that. Don't that sound like the devil? I mean, that's the name of him. The adversary provoked her. And not just provoked her, but it said sore. You ever been provoked sore? I have. Hey, listen, people will get on your last nerve. Y'all thought I was going to be dignified tonight? I know we got visitors, but he was a pastor for 25 years in New York. And he's from Augusta, ain't you? Yes, sir. So, you've dealt with people. Has people ever provoked you sore?
A time or two, yes, sir.
I reckon. It ain't just preachers, but people will find where you are vulnerable, and they will rub you raw. They will hit that spot where you're the most vulnerable. I know when I lay a goose egg preaching. I know. Trust me, I don't need you to tell me. I criticize my preaching way more than you ever could. That's a promise. But they are people, Brother Ned, that felt like it was their life's ministry to tell me what I didn't say and what I should have said. Or who I should have went and seen this week instead of who I did. And who I should have been calling. And I admit to you, I fail and I don't do it all right. Brother Jackie, I am flesh. But it rubs me sore when I'm at least trying. And I realize I've got a weakness. I need work in this area. And somebody was coming along and pointed out and say, hey, did you know about that? Oh, yeah, I know. Yes, I know. And while we're on the subject, Let's flip that mirror on you. You want to look at some of your vulnerabilities and weaknesses? Because I could gladly point some out. But it don't help nobody. The woman's down already. The woman's hurting already. If anybody's aware of her problem, she is. If anybody knows her womb is shut, she's aware. She's already hurt, painful. I mean, that's a deep, agonizing pain. Some of you ladies know exactly what this woman went through. And she didn't need no adversary to point that out. I'll just sum it up and move on and give you some of Grandma's old good sayings. If ain't nothing good to say, don't say it. If you ain't got something nice to say, then don't say it. It ain't benefiting anyone. It's just going to provoke. Another word in the Bible says tells us, fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath. Even as a parent, we got to be careful not to be provoking. And I mean, we're supposed to correct, but it's not a healthy and good thing to always be the rod pointing out, and this, you're doing this wrong and that wrong. There's got to be some encouraging and building up. I didn't come to teach psychology tonight, but that's just the truth. And so her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret with the purpose, with the intention to make her fret. That had to be a Baptist. All the way back in 1 Samuel, Baptists lived. I can prove it. All right, verse 7. And as he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Oh, what a dumb statement. That is a husband statement if I've ever heard one. Ain't I better to you than 10 sons? Why, no. If you was, she wouldn't be crying. You a husband, not the child that she wants. Hey, man, just go ahead and get it through your thick skull, and Lord, help me to get it through mine. And I'm preaching that. My wife ain't in here, so I can banny like a rooster. I'll go home. Hey, there's some things I can't do for her. There's some needs I can't meet. We got to just come to grips with that. Hey, man. But this husband didn't get that yet, and he made a foolish statement. And God recorded it. Ain't you glad? Jim, ain't you glad? We ain't the only ones that's ever done something that stupid. She's crying. Oh, my. When they start crying, you better shut your mouth. Amen. Cam, you better get married. I'm giving marriage lessons tonight, free of charge. If she starts crying, zip your lip. Plead the fifth. Wait till tomorrow. Sleep on it. Free advice. I bet Elkanah wish he had her after making such a crazy statement. Well, so verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. And wept sore. Now, we're here dealing about prayer tonight. Now, we're getting into the prayer. This woman was bitter to the soul. She was wanting. And the Bible says that she, out of that bitterness, out of that anguish and agony, she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Now, please stay with me. We're going somewhere. Listen to the words carefully. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto thee to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying, get that, underline that, this was not a one-time prayer. I thank the Lord when he answers that first time. But it don't always happen. And if you want something bad enough, you'll keep asking. And if you don't believe that, go ask any one of my children. They've learned that. No. No. I said no. Okay, just do it. Get out of my face. Yeah. Persistence. She asked again. She prayed again. She made her petition known again. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, listen, that Eli marked her mouth. The man of God, the preacher, walked over and saw this woman weeping and mouthing something, but nothing coming out. No voice, no volume. And he marked her mouth. He said, this woman's drunk. She's lost her mind. She's lost her marbles. She's literally drunk. That's what the preacher said. Now, I've been accused of a lot, and some of you have done the accusing. Oh, yeah, I know. But I ain't never called you no drunk. I ain't never said you're so crazy you act like a drunk woman. That's what their preacher said. That's what Hannah's preacher said. After her lunatic husband made such a foolish statement, then the preacher comes along and says, woman, are you drunk? Are you crazy? Well, reckon where Hannah's going for encouragement. This woman's at the bottom of the barrel. And so she turns to the Lord and she continues praying. She didn't say, well, I'm done. My husband don't understand me. The preacher has no idea the anguish and the hurt and the heartache I'm dealing with, so I might as well just quit. No, that ain't what she did. She wanted a child more than she cared about being offended by the preacher. I better move on from there. Let's read. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now, Hannah, she spake in her heart. You listen? She spake in her heart, still praying, no words. Not a whisper in her heart. Ain't you glad to know God can read your heart? When you cannot form words and articulate thoughts, he knows and can translate the very wooing of your heart. That's deep prayer. And boy, I'm glad God can read that, because there's a lot of times I don't know what to say or how to say it. Let me help you here. The Lord's helped me with this. Have you ever failed the Lord? She's asking for a gift. She's asking for something. But could I say, you could easily input or imply forgiveness is a gift that I need as much as I need a child or more. Have you ever failed the Lord? And you have failed him there in that particular situation before and said, Lord, if you'll forgive me, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, and angry. I mean, you sorry, really sorry. And you repent. I ain't talking about now I lay me down to sleep. I mean, you really sorry that you failed the Lord and you sinned and you acknowledge it and admit it and agree with God that it's sin and you don't want to do that no more. And you repent of it. By the way, that's what repentance is. Agreeing with God, admitting to God, and acknowledging the sin and turning from it. You can't just get in a day and live it like you want to and say, okay, Lord, forgive me for all my sins today. If I've sinned today, well, hogwash, you did sin today. You might as well name it. And say, Lord, that's sin. I did it. I'm guilty. Can we get this right? You ever done that and really got forgiveness? Only for the next day for that ugly thing to rear its head and side hit you and you done it again. What you just said, Lord, I won't do that again. You know how low and dirty and rotten you feel when that happens? Oh, I forgot. I'm preaching. Y'all don't do that. That's just me. It happens. I'm not even going to say, Brother Jackie, it happened. Past tense. It happens. It will happen. Again. And you run out of words to say. Oh, I would pray this, but I just prayed that yesterday. You ever got down to pray and your mind say, well, that's just vain repetition. That is not what the Bible's talking about, vain repetition. But when I asked for forgiveness for something yesterday, and then here I am again today saying, Lord, forgive me. It's repetition, but it ain't vain. I mean it. But the third time? Surely not. Yeah, the fourth. What do you say? Oh, Lord. I don't know what to say. And you want to say, and you just feel so guilty that you don't know what to say. Do you know He knows that about you? And before you ever get the word out to say, I'm sorry, forgive me, He already has, because He knows your heart. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can prove that. You do believe the Bible. With the heart, man believeth. I know people that's got saved before they ever got to the altar. I think a lot of people probably has and just don't know it. Oh, we go to that event, but the moment your heart turned to Him and said yes to Jesus, and He knows your heart. It's a done deal. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before you ever ask. I can prove that too. You're saved before the foundation of the world. I won't go down that route. I'm just telling you, He can save you. He can forgive you. He can give you anything you want or need before you ask for it. And even if you can't ask for it, He can give it to you and will. And He did for her. Yeah, that's a good God. That's a good, good God. I'm glad when I can't make the words fit, He understands. That's wonderful. We must hurry. She spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. What a pastor. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of Him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. Listen, and her countenance was no more sad. Ain't that amazing? No child. And we're going to read just some. She hadn't even laid down with Elkanah yet. The youngins are over there. The deed hadn't been done. But she's happy. Bitterness is gone. The pain and the sorrow and the anguish of heart has been released. How did that happen? What happened? There was no child there yet. Before the child was ever placed in her womb, there was a prayer placed in the heart of God, and it was sealed. When your prayer gets to the heart of God, it's as good as done. And you can count on it, and you can bank on it, and you can live in that. It's going to happen. Even in the Old Testament, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. You can't please God. She had faith. She believed what she prayed. Half-hearted praying don't accomplish much. I'll just revert back to that phrase, Lord, if I've... Just please delete that out of your vocabulary. There ain't no Lord if I've. There's Lord I've. Rid your mind and your vocabulary of any wasted words. Hey, you want me to give you some practical truth to help your prayer life? Start listening to yourself pray. And sound how listen how goofy you sound. And say, would I talk to my daddy that way? Oh, thou Father of fathers, thou Father, thou great creator, oh thou. I ain't talking to nobody that way. And I shouldn't go to God in some false pretense. Cut out the nonsense and pray with a single, sober heart. Understanding He is your Father. He is the God of heaven. He is thrice holy, but He's your Father. And He wants to help you and He wants to heal you and make you whole. Yeah. I don't sense that Hannah was mutter mouth and not vocalizing her words because she was afraid of God. I think she had run out of words to say. I think she was so broken and bruised and bitterness of soul, she just didn't know how to say what she wanted and needed. But He did. And she prayed it and she believed it, and God healed it and helped it. And I'm going to spend the last few minutes, let me finish reading through verse 20. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Verse 19, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. See, I wasn't making up stuff. That's right there in your Bible. Verse 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, behold, I have asked him of the Lord. We'll skip down to verse 27 and read this and be done reading. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. That's the account of Hannah and how Samuel discovered planet Earth. And what a wonderful portion of God's Word. So the life of Hannah, the prayer of Hannah, true prayer, the kind that is heard and honored by God, listen, comes from the heart, not from the lips. It may travel through your lips and mine, but it originates in the heart, true prayer. Any prayer that comes through our lips that did not start in our heart will not go anywhere. If you don't leave tonight with anything but what I just said, take that to the bank. I'm probably going to take about the last 10 minutes on one word, and that word is desire. Desire is what delivered this child to her. Her desire drove her. And a lack of desire will not get you anywhere. You will not be successful in anything, in any field, with no desire. If you don't believe that, go study the sports worlds. They give their all because they desire the best. They train, they lift, they practice, they run, they eat right, they do right. Why? Because they desire it. The military, they desire to be the best. They put in the training. They put in the work. They do the hard stuff. Why? Because they desire to serve and to be the best. But somewhere along the way. Milquetoast, yellow-bellied preachers have so watered down this thing of the Christian life that we can just desire what we will and do as we please and it'll all work out. And that's hogwash. That is not how it works. You will not amount to anything for God with no desire. She desired it, and you can see it. It come from within. And whatever's within will come out. Sooner or later, we make and put on and practice and play the role. But what's in your heart, it's going to come out. You make and cover it and camouflage it. But you hang around somebody long enough. Oh, I can come to church and preach like a preacher. But I go home and live like a husband and a daddy. So what do you mean by that? I'm saying when I get home, Brother Ned, every word that comes out of my mouth ain't quoting the scripture. Yeah. Or saying amen, hallelujah, glory to God.
Yeah.
No, because I'm flesh like you are, and my desires get deviated and distracted, and before I know it, old flesh rises to number one, and what I want becomes what I want. And that's what I get at the shame of myself. As simple as I can put it tonight, you know what you got? What you want. You know what life you got? The life you want. You say, but this ain't what I want. But I want that. No, if you wanted that, you'd have that. Because you would desire enough to get it. I want a better prayer life. No, you don't. I could be a politician preacher tonight and say, oh, bless your heart. Yes, you sure do. We'll pray for that. How about you just grow up and get with it?
Yeah,
start
amen.
To really desiring it.
Amen.
Put some practice in. Put some time in.
Amen.
Don't tell me you're serious about a prayer life when you won't do it more than 3 or 4 minutes a day. And I challenge anybody. Don't look at me crazy. Go do the study. Do the research. I have. And it'll amaze you how little people pray. Look at the statistics. It's not minutes a day. It's seconds. And we say, oh, there's power in prayer. And we sing about the power of prayer. And oh, what a privilege to get to talk to the God of heaven. And we spend seconds? Please, man, a lost person wouldn't believe that. We need to work on our desire. We need to work on our want to. You know why our churches are powerful? You know, I don't want to preach about our churches. I got one. It's this one. You know why this church is powerless? My church is powerless? Because we're prayerless. You say, oh, but I want a good church. I want the power of God. Well, yeah, we say that. But we ain't paying for it. What kind of low-down scoundrel would you think I was? You thought, oh my, this is Wednesday night prayer study. We're going to go do a little Bible study tonight and get encouraged. I'm trying, but we got to be honest and real. A Bible study ain't helped us much. We need something that will stir the fires and help us to see reality and see we are living so far below and beneath where we should be and where we could be for the glory of God. For lost sinners out here who need a church with power, who need a church that shines bright, who needs to be able to walk into a sanctuary and feel the power and presence of God instead of a rendition and a routine and some religious calisthenic. We mumble the songs. Oh, this is Wednesday night. Brother Kim, I appreciate you leading the singing. I do. Brother Cliff. And Brother David, but I'm not satisfied with the singing. I ain't satisfied with the preaching either. It needs to be better. But our singing needs to be better. It needs to touch people. This choir used to thunder and have a touch on it. The congregation used to ring the rafter. I mean, and we come in here and just, I'm not going to sing. But we need, if we don't believe it, they ain't going to believe it or want what we got. They must see a desire. I want my family saved. Then give them a church where they can get that way. Because this is the God's honest truth. I'm guilty and you are too. And I'm putting us all in the same boat. If most of our lost family come in on any given service, they'd be in trouble. And that's a shame to me and to you. Any lost person ought to be able to walk in this church and feel conviction because people have prayed over them, bathed them in prayer, and conviction fall on them. I know that's not encouraging, but it's the truth. And by the way, the Bible still says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That's two-thirds, reproving and rebuking, before you get exhorted. Everybody wants Joel. Everybody wants Smiley. And exhort and exhort. And we've exhorted till we're blue in the face. And it's about time we get rebuked and reproved and realize this ain't all there is. It shouldn't be. Am I the only person here? I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to us. I'm guilty. I said I'm guilty. And I'm not satisfied. Are you satisfied with your church? One thing is going to change it. Desire. Before she ever had a child, she wanted it. It moved her heart. It stirred her. And I'm saying to me, starting me, Lord, convict me, get me real enough with myself to repent of being okay with how things are. That'll drive me to praying. The power of God will move in this place and start in me. If Brother Nate, you remember that old song? Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Standing in the need of prayer.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, God, help us to have a desire. How long has it been? How long has it been since you had a real desire to get plugged in with God? How long has it been since you've had an encounter with God? That's a good question. I'm not talking about reading your Bible or praying or going to church. I mean when you and God had an encounter, an experience, because you don't get over them. Them are life-changing events. It don't happen every service. It don't happen every Sunday. Some of mine's happen on Monday or Tuesday. Because I usually resign on Mondays. And by Tuesday, I'm repenting, getting ready for Wednesday. So I'm telling you, them encounters with the Lord shouldn't be a once-in-a-blue-moon occasion that we're okay with. You remember the last one you were in? When you didn't need a preacher to ag you on or push you into his presence? You didn't need some singer to make goosebumps rise up on your skin and get a feeling, but just you and God, and your heart was moved to Him, and you was drawn to Him like a magnet, and you was in the aura of His presence, and you thought, oh my, this is amazing. If you ain't never done that, you should. It's greater than any high, it's greater than any drug, it's greater than any drink, it's greater than any feeling you could ever have. Is to truly get in the presence of God and want it and not want it to end. Sometimes I'll raise my voice in preaching, but I'm usually a pretty quiet fella. I used to not be that way. I used to talk all the time and be loud and obnoxious and crazy. Now my children realize, but I have been riding down the road before and slapped loose my mind and forget who I was and where I was and what I was doing and even forget that I was driving. And I believe God had to drive for me a few times. And somebody said, amen, that's all the time. But He gets so big and you just don't want it to end. It's like, oh, that we could stay here. You remember, was it Peter, James, and John, and they was with the Lord at the Mount of Transfiguration, and they wanted to build the temple, build the, what is the word, altars for the other two men. And then once they got rebuked for that and realized what was going on, could we stay here? This is so good. Could we not just stay here? That's how it is. When he lights up and when he's transfigured, when he becomes more than a man in a book, and he becomes more than a man 2,000 years ago on a cross, but he becomes alive and vibrant and real right here in your life, you don't want to leave there. Yeah. And that creates, you say, how do I get that desire? Where does that drive come from? How do I get that to want to pray? Because to be honest, ain't that what we all struggle with? We just don't want to. Let me help you. You ain't a heathen. I mean, you are. We are heathens. But you ain't abnormal. That's what the flesh is. That's what we fight with. The flesh don't want to do it. But if you're saved, there is a want to in you. You've got to find it. It's like the old proverb. If I can remember something about a dog, which one you feed the most is going to win.
Yeah.
Whatever you're feeding, that's what grows. Whatever you're desiring, that's what gets big. If it's sports, then your world is sports. That's the biggest thing going on in your life. And I pity you. If a ball is bigger than God, I pity you. Because that's an awful small world to live in. If it's a career, as big as that is, and I'm not belittling you or your children, I want my children to be successful in a career, what I do. But I don't want to get a career or an education or some hobby or some sport so big that it consumes who I am and defines what I do. And that ain't because I'm a preacher. That's because I'm a Christian. And when those things get out of order, and by the way, that is not my opinion. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. He should be number one. And when He ain't, we ought to do some introspection and say, Lord, my desire ain't right. I've got deflected. I've deviated. I need to regroup, rethink, examine myself and say, I've got things out of order. Things are not in priority. And I know, hey, how many of you will admit to me, and I'm not calling anybody particular out, but how many will be honest tonight and admit to me, when you put anything in front of God long enough, it's going to be the fall of you. Mm-hmm. You want to take a stroll through the Bible? I don't have time this evening, but just walk through the Bible and find people who once loved God, He was their everything, and then all of a sudden they got distracted. Whether it was a woman, whether it's power, whether it was whatever, name it. When it got bigger than God, it wasn't long. And usually, this is the truth, usually you lose what you really wanted. Because that's what God has to take. I give young people this advice a lot. I say, hey, you want her? You really want her? You want him? That's what I'm usually. You want him? Because I got four daughters. You want that nut? No. If you really want them, you better live right. You better not mess up. You better not be sinning with them, because you'll lose it. Don't ask me how I know that, but I know that. God will take what He has to take, whether it's a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a spouse, a child, a sport, health, fame, fortune, whatever God has to remove to put Himself back number one, He can and will. And be sure of this, I'm done. But God's judgment grinds slow, but it grinds fine. And he will be number one, no matter what. He's God. He deserves it. And we should desire that. And when we do, our prayer life will show it. And Hannah did. Hannah wanted that child. And hey, and if you have a child, you say, well, I don't, if you like me, you ain't praying for no child. I'm praying, shut that womb, Lord. Don't let no more. Please, Lord. Even if somebody said, if you knew it was a boy. No! Absolutely not. I done went down that road. It could be 50-50. No, 100%. Girl, 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 girl. No more. No moss. So I ain't praying for no more. But you could. We should go from praying for children, and I've been there and we've done that, to praying for them. God, be number one in their life. Don't let them fall in the same holes I did. Don't let them get distracted. Lord, don't let their desires replicate what mine was. You ever think about that? Oh, my. I do not want my children becoming and walking the road I have walked. That scares me. It wakes me up at night. Verses like the sin will visit the third and fourth generation. He said, well, I done it now. You better thank God for grace, and I do. But that is no promise for tomorrow. We better straighten up and walk right and give them a life and a row and a path that they can follow that will lead them to God. And show them how to desire a walk with God, a word with God, how to worship God. It's been pretty tough this evening. I don't apologize for it. It's the truth, and we needed it. I needed it. And I plead with you, don't leave here mad at me. I did not come in here throwing axes and throwing rocks and stones with no motive other than I really planned on reading the book tonight, and I ain't read one blessed word out of that book tonight. And I had no intentions of doing it. But God wanted to speak to us this evening and arouse us and help us to. We got some static in the radio. In this digital age, these kids wouldn't know what that means, so I'm preaching to the grown-ups. Y'all remember static? I couldn't give that illustration with them. They're like, static? What is static? It's digital, dude. There's an app for that. Now, you remember static? Remember riding down the road with the radio on and you hit a low spot in the country, and what was clear and pristine and sounding good? Remember that? It means you was out of range. Adjustments had to be made. You had to turn the dial. Remember the dial? Or you had to turn the car. I'm afraid in our life, we've got static, so much noise. Help. Any of your children? I'm going to tell on mine right now. Brother Ned, I got children, I won't name their name, but I got children who won't go to bed unless there's some kind of noise. A TV, a radio, something. It's been that way so long. If that static ain't there, if that noise, if they ain't something, and fear, and I thought, oh, you crazy girl, you lost your mind. Cut that TV off. It's 12 o'clock at night. Cut that TV off. You don't need that bright light shining in your room and that noise. But Daddy, I can't sleep. I said, cut the TV off. Cut the radio off. Get quiet. Get silent. Get in the dark. Be quiet and go to sleep. Then I hear tears and weeping. And if you're a parent, you know the difference between whining and I ain't got time. You know the difference between whining and fear crying. When that child, when it's real, I had to go back in there and say, hey, what's going on? What's wrong? Daddy, it's been this way my whole life. And I can't go to sleep without something there. Boy, that got me to thinking. You know, I allowed that their whole life. I let that live with them. I give them a crutch and a prop that I should have never let there. And I sure ain't got time to deal with the real crutches and props. I ain't going to pull it out. This is about as big of a crutch as I know of that we've propped up under our children. That's probably causing more danger and damage than anything I know of. And once they get used to it, that's what they desire. That's what they got to have. And try to take it. You know what happens when you try to take this or a tablet, Brother Jackie? I get the same look I'm getting from Baptist grown-ups when we talk about taking some of your time to pray. Hello, Tokyo. Y'all out there? We don't want to give up our time. We like what we do because that's what we desire. Y'all get it? Then I'm going to stop because I can't take no more of this myself. Goodness. I'll preach myself under conviction. All right, let's stand. Sorry, Glissons. Hate it was rough tonight. Please.